and they began to grumble, says St. Luke, saying, he's gone to the house of a sinner. You all are familiar with this story of Zacchaeus, I presume. You probably heard it since you were knee-high to a duck. Isn't that one of the first stories little children learn in their Bible study, Bible classes? Anybody learn the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree, something about his Lord to see. It's a charming story from the Gospel of Luke, but if you read a little deeper, it's a little more than just charming. How many characters are in this story? How about the story? Jesus is one of them, of course, isn't he? And there's Zacchaeus. Who's the other character? It's one of the stock characters in the Jesus stories. It's the crowd. In great many of the stories of Jesus, there is a crowd following him, and they're observing and they're listening and they're hopeful. Sometimes their mood is what you call ebullient. They're really up and happy. Other times their mood can turn kind of sour and they grumble. But nevertheless, they're one of the characters in the story, this crowd. And we're part of them because we've heard the story. And that sort of makes us part of the crowd too. And we human beings, we kind of like to be in crowds, most of us. Some people don't. But we're social creatures and we get in crowds and kind of become part of it. We're in a crowd right now. You're in other crowds sometimes, maybe on the bleachers of a ball game or something like that. We get in crowds. Crowds, it can be a good thing to be in crowds, and sometimes crowds can kind of lead you astray. So you have to be careful about being in crowds. I remember being in a crowd once. It was in my hometown of Barnesville, Georgia, and I was probably 12 or 13 years old, beginning to be old enough to observe and listen to what was going on. And there was a crowd in the middle of town. The merchants of the town, in order to get people to shop locally and not get on the train and go to Atlanta and spend their money up there, they had a campaign that if you shopped in the local shops, you could get a drawing ticket. They were giving away a bale of cotton. So they had about 3 bales over 3 weeks. They had the drawings for them. A bale of cotton was worth several hundred dollars. Might have been worth $500. I don't know. It was one Saturday, and I came out of the barber shop or something. There was this big crowd in the square in the middle of the little shopping district there, little town, maybe 2 blocks long, stores on either side. There was a truck, and on the back of it, there was the bale of cotton, and then the revolving drum, where they mixed up all the tickets, and after a while, somebody drew one out and read it out. Dr. Jackson won the bale of cotton. Well, he was one of about 3 doctors in town, and of course, everybody knew the doctors. They were prominent in the community. I guess everybody thought Dr. Jackson had a lot of money, and I don't know whether he did or not. He lived in kind of a big house out on the edge of town. Of course, everybody in the crowd, they were there expecting, maybe I'll win it. Well, here's Dr. Jackson won it. Well, that's just the luck of the draw. Maybe if I come back next week, I might have a chance at winning it. So I happen to be there the next Saturday too for some reason. There was the next second bale of cotton, and they cranked the cage and pulled out another ticket. And everybody's thinking, well, maybe this will be my ticket. And they read out, Nancy Jackson won the second bale of cotton, the doctor's daughter. Well, you can imagine how the mood of the crowd changed. You know, people begin to look at each other. This has got to be rigged. You know how people do turn to one another. That couldn't have been twice in a row. That's too much luck. This, somebody's got it rigged. So the crowd was grumbling, as you can imagine. You know how things spread through crowds. Grumble. Somebody won it that didn't really need it. I could have won it. But this is rigged. You know, crowds are like that. The crowds that follow Jesus. There's always crowds there, you know. Sometimes they're happy. You know, one time they were crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," waving their palm branches. Well, the very next day they're hollering, "Crucify him, crucify him." Crowds are like that. People, it's easy to be caught up in following the crowd, isn't it? Sometimes if you get in a crowd, people can let the crowd do their thinking for them. It's easy for that to happen. Well, here's Zacchaeus up the tree. He's not a very attractive person any way you look at him. I mean, he's short of stature. Who knows? Maybe he had a physical birth defect or something. I don't know. Maybe he didn't get nourished when he was a child. But anyway, he's short of stature. He's kind of short of moral stature too. You know, he's this tax collector, and he's cheated people out of way much more money than they rightfully owed. He worked for the Roman government, and people felt they had been oppressed by him. He was socially short of stature. Nobody much invited him to their house. He wasn't welcome. Well, the crowd's following Jesus, and of course they are expectant. They say, maybe he'll cast out my demon. Or maybe he'll heal me. If I get close to Jesus, I'll really be blessed. But Jesus comes along and looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house." And he comes down, of course, joyfully, and welcomes Jesus. And what does the crowd do? It says they grumbled about Jesus. I expect to turn to one another. "He's going to the house of a sinner. Did you see that? He's going to go to this rascal's house, a sinner." You know, whispering each other this way and that. Grumbling, the crowd does. Some of them, you know, somebody whispers in their ear, "He's going to a sinner's house. Yeah, he's going, you know, ain't it awful?" You know, crowds, people let crowds do their thinking for them. But anyway, Zacchaeus has this life-changing experience. Maybe if they'd been open to Jesus like he was, like Zacchaeus was, maybe they'd have a life-changing experience too. But Jesus shows Zacchaeus mercy. That's kind of the point of the story, that God, through Jesus, has mercy on this man. He's not acceptable physically, morally, socially. But God has mercy on him. And when they complain, you know, Jesus answers, "Why, this man's a son of Abraham too. He's a child of God. Are you jealous because he gets God's mercy? There's plenty of it there for you. That happens today. We belong to crowds, we belong to much bigger crowds than folks could have had back in those days. I mean, they had to come together to be a crowd. You know how we get together on social media? We can get, if you go on Twitter, you can be a part of a vast crowd. You see people, 10 or 12 folks together, they're not quite enough to be a bigger crowd, but they're, how they're doing? They're all texting and they're being part of a much greater crowd. You know how attitudes get shared on through the crowd on Twitter and things like that. So we belong to crowds that are much greater than the people in Jesus' time could have belonged to. Well, they did. We belong to social crowds. We belong to religious crowds. We belong to political crowds. We belong to hobby crowds. People of different languages have their own crowds. Maybe people of different races have their own crowds. And attitudes get shared through the big crowds that we can become part of. And some people let the crowds do their thinking for them and shape our attitudes. Yeah, we begin to grumble. There are people that seem to get blessings that don't deserve it. We belong to the right country. We belong to the right sort of people. Yet there are people that don't deserve it trying to get our blessings. You ever hear that on the media? People of other races trying to get what we rightly deserve. People of other languages, other ways of life. People that belong to communities that we wouldn't even think deserve blessings. People of other gender orientations. People of other political parties. And they're getting God's blessings too. Well, grumble, 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 it goes across the crowds, the vast crowds. Now, some folks in the crowd there with Zacchaeus let the crowd do their thinking for them. These days, are you going to follow the crowd? Or are you going to follow Jesus?